Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing a message entitled Preparing for His Presence. And perhaps there's nothing that we desire more than to be in the presence of the Lord. And we have found that as we look into the Word of God, the Scriptures were given to us for our example, for our admonition, for our learning. And so, as we've been looking now in the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel, some lessons that David learned about the presence of God. And I suggest to you, even though we're millennium removed from that hour and that day, the same principles of God apply. And the first thing I want to share with you, in order to experience the presence of God, it has to be God's agenda, not man's. You know, today, church leaders, and there's seminars, there's conferences, you know, how can we build a church? How can we reach the unsaved? How can we, you know, reap the harvest? And all of those intentions are good, but beloved, it has to be done the way of the Lord. It's not by programs. It has to start with prayer. How much prayer do we hear? See in our churches today. Thank God for those who are praying, and I'm not just speaking individually, but coming together corporately to pray for the nations, to pray for our nation, to pray for the body of Christ. This is something I feel that is so lacking, and yet, if we want the presence of God, then that any revival has always been birthed by saints praying, and sometimes it wasn't a lot of them, but God honors prayer, and so if we want His presence, we have to duplicate or replicate, if you will, the formula that David discovered. First of all, it's got to be God's way and not ours. But now let's go to the text to explain what I'm talking about. In 2 Samuel, the sixth chapter, we see that at this point in time, David had been newly anointed king over all Israel. He spoke to all the people, and they were all excited. Sounded like a wonderful idea. Yes, let's bring the ark. For 20 years or so, it hadn't been even sought after in the reign of Saul. And now they wanted to bring the ark and establish its place of resting in the city of David. So David arose and with all the people, and they... In verse 3, it says, they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. They were driving it. And we see that there was honor and reverence being displayed. There were many in attendance. There were great expressions of joy at the transport of the ark. It says in verse 5, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, and they had it on a new cart. And without question, this was obviously intended as a mark of respect. It had never been used for anything else. But there was a little bit of a problem. The ark of God was not to be borne on wheels. Think about this. A cart, well, it's able to be moved by four wheels that are on its various corners. And a wheel, of course, is a symbol of man's ingenuity and invention. Now, the Philistines, they could cart the ark with impunity, but the Israelites did it at their peril. Why? Because Moses commanded by the word of the Lord that the ark was to be borne with staves upon the shoulders of the Levites. So, what do we see? Well, the tragedy is about to occur. Let's read in verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. In other words, it apparently was in danger of falling, and so he reached forth his hand to steady it. And in verse 7, the scriptures say, and the ark of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He had the best of intentions, so did all of Israel. But this unexpected tragedy just completely put a damper on everything. What do we see going on here? Was God just being capricious? No, what we see in evidence here is the sin of presumption, which is a very serious sin. That sin of Uzzah was punished. Uzzah was from the tribe of Levi, and from that tribe, they did have the responsibility for the tabernacle as well as its contents, including the ark. The priests of the house of Aaron were responsible for covering the ark as well as all the utensils and furniture of the sanctuary. They had to do this for travel. That's described in Numbers, the 4th chapter, verses 5 through 14. But there were very specific instructions that they were not to touch the ark in doing so. The Kohathites were to be in charge of carrying the ark using rings and poles provided. We see that in Exodus 25 and 14, but they were not to touch the ark under pain of death. Let's see what Numbers, the 4th chapter, verse 15 says. And when Aaron and his sons had made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, in other words, as they were getting ready to move, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. So it was very specific, and Uzzah committed this error, this sin, which was punished by death. And so what were the violations that were going on here? Well, the ark was traveling uncovered, open to the gaze of all, which was a sign of disrespect. Whenever it was carried, and it had to be covered in a certain way. And also it was being transported upon a cart. That was wrong in itself. And there was no priest in charge of the transport. And obviously, the ark had been in Uzzah's household. Perhaps he had such a familiarity with it that he may, obviously, he possessed a reckless and a sacrilegious spirit. He didn't honor and reverence the Lord in front of all of Israel and the congregation. And beloved, familiarity with holy things without an understanding heart leads to presumption and ultimate death. And what do we see or hear contrasted? Well, we see God's divine decree opposed to the ego of man. In other words, how we feel it should be done or might be done. That's what the sin of presumption is. Remember another situation in Israel's history? The very sons of Aaron, my goodness, Aaron was the high priest, and his sons Nadab and Abihu, it says they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not, and a fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. They were killed. And in fact, Aaron was told that he could not even mourn for them, because what they had done was, again, a presumptuous act, which was punished by death. The ark of God, beloved, the things of God do not need the hand of man to steady it. Just, he was trying to reach out and seemingly to do a good thing. But, beloved, we have to understand that we serve a holy God, and much of what's lacking from today's church is a fear and reverence and a sense of true awe for the holiness of God. You know, that's it. We used to sing years ago was that our God is an awesome God. And today that word awesome, you hear it, it's very used all the time in common speech. Oh, that's just awesome. And you know what? Something in me just, I have a little problem with that, because the real meaning of awesome, you are filled with awe, a holy fear and reverence and trembling and respect. And so, beloved, we cannot be presumptuous about the things of God. Paul's desire for Israel to be saved, hear what he says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." You see, that's a religious spirit. That's someone who thinks, well, you know, I have a good intention and this is fine. But the word is very clear. Let's look at Psalm 19 and 13. Here, David is praying in one of his psalms, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions." That gives us something to think about, doesn't it, beloved? And so it seems like a very harsh punishment. After all, he was just trying to prevent the ark from falling when the oxen stumbled. But beloved, you know, God is merciful, but also he wants to teach us that we need to have a revelation of God's holiness. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. And so we see in verse 8, David gave that name a new place, Perez Uzzah, the outbreak against Uzzah, in remembrance. That's how he named that place. And we see in 2 Samuel, the preceding chapter, verse 5:20, that David had recently been triumphant over against his enemies, and he called that place, he came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. So in this case, the Lord was breaking out against their enemies, but here it was an outbreak against friends. And the memorial of this blow would be a warning to posterity against all rashness and irreverence in dealing with the holy things of God. Well, my time has flown, and well, we're going to pick up tomorrow as we conclude or carry on in this message, continuing this message, understanding the fear of the Lord and the revelation of God's holiness. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.